Blog Talk Radio.
What a moment you have brought me to. Hallelujah. Thanking God this morning for being allowed to be with you this morning as we study God's word. I am excited. It is a great word. This is Psalms, Proverbs, and New Testament Sunday, where we will go through our Psalms and our Proverbs and our New Testament. On Friday, we went through Exodus, our Old Testament work, and it dealt with a lot, mainly building the temple, getting the instructions, doing what is right. Come on now. Woo! Aaron lost his mind when he decided to make a golden calf. Say, give me all your gold. Because the kids, as I say, when the adults were away, the kids were playing. You know, so Moses had to go up to talk with God. God was giving him some instruction. And while he was gone those 40 days and 40 nights, those that like to create confusion in any group, you know, started whining and complaining that Moses wasn't there and that he might not come back and that he'd have brought him out of slavery and da-da-da-da-da. Whiny, whiny, whiny. And so Aaron, who he had left in charge, and her, who he had also left in charge, her wasn't anywhere in this. I'm going to say her is like, my name is her, I'm not in this mess. And he was not. You know, he was just kind of like, oh, boy. Aaron grabbed the gold, made the calf. They started bowing down, party here, party there. Moses and Joshua come down the hill. Joshua's ready to get into a fight because, you know, he was a strategic kind of guy. He was that, you know, general. You know, I should say he was that colonel to Moses' general, and he was not ready. He was ready to go to fight. And Moses was like, nope, that's not what it is. That's not it, because Joshua was like, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. But he said, it's not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but it's the sound of singing I hear. Because they was partying down. They was singing. They was dancing. They were having a good time around that golden calf. And Moses didn't play. Came down. He had broke the tablets because when he came down the mountain, excuse me, the devil is a lie. I am not sleepy. I have had 8 hours. So I am not going to allow that yawning spirit to come in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. And so he came down. He took that golden calf, set it on fire, and then took it and used his little pistol, made it into like a nice fine little gold paste, and made him drink it. You know, drink your iniquities, because they was just lost it. And then the Lord was like ready to take them off the face of the earth. And again, Moses stepped in, intercessor that he was. And he prayed. And he asked God to forgive him. And then 3,000 folks died. Brother against brother, the Levites had to go and kill some people. And I'm sure it was the troublemakers. You know, don't mess with God, because God will not play with you. You know, just ask for obedience. You know, Aaron, of course, did not take responsibility. But we know that he did what he did. You know, but God forgives. He forgives me. He forgives you. He forgave them. But again, for our sins, there are consequences. And that's just what we have to understand. that God will allow us to do whatever we want to do. Because he gives us free will. He gives us choice. Something mankind don't always want to do. Give people choice. We want to tie folks up in a box. But understand that with choice come consequences. God allows choice. But again, there are always consequences if you make the wrong choice. And the children of Israel made the wrong choice when they allowed the golden calf to be built. Aaron made the wrong choice when he allowed the golden calf to be rebuilt, to be built. But again, he repented, was consecrated, and made a priest of the Lord. We have to pray every day for God's grace, for God's mercy, for God to show us the way. We got to listen, and we got to study, and we got to know, and watch, and pray, lest we enter into temptation. The children of Israel entered into temptation. They went back to what they had known, which was enslavement, which was idolatry. They didn't know any better. See, we fall back on bad habits when things get out of whack in our minds and our brains and our spirit. When we go through depressions, when we go through different life things changing, we fall back on bad behaviors. And we got to pray for God to not allow that. Lord, help me to be better. Help me to watch and pray that I not fall into the temptation of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. And let us pray today as we get ready to go into our lesson. And today we will be in the 21st Psalm. Proverbs chapter 7, starting at verse 24. And Matthew chapter 25 and 26. Matthew 25, starting at verse 31 through Matthew 26. Verse number 50. And again, and we'll go to the 22nd Psalm, verses 1 through 8, and the 8th Proverbs, verses 6 through 11. Is where we'll finish up. So let's get in our word and let's pray. Father God in heaven, I am just thankful today that you have given us another day, Lord. As I say every day, I am thankful, I am grateful, and I am blessed to be your daughter, God. And I ask you to increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And I lift this word up to you, Lord, asking you to show me what to give me the words to speak and what not to speak, keep it behind my teeth. Father God, remove all flesh and replace it with your Holy Spirit, that someone will get a word today that will touch their heart, touch their mind, and touch their spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, as I lift up your yeah and took you, Lord, asking you, Lord God, as you allow your angels of mercy to keep those alive that should be alive and to welcome into the kingdom those that have gone before. For your word says that absence from the body is in the presence of you, Lord God. And so, Father God, everything we know is for a purpose and a reason. And there is a time to live and a time to die. So, Father God, I lift up the grieving, those that are left behind, those that will have to go on without a loved one. I ask you to give them strength, God. Give them strength in the midst of the turmoil in their life. And, Lord God, allow this world to see that by your grace go I. By your grace go I. Because as earthquakes have happened in Turkey and Syria, we all know that many of our nations set on quake lines and could easily be us. Father God, I ask your blessing and I ask your grace and your mercy over all the other lands, God. But we know that all things are happening for a purpose and a reason, and they all have been spoken of in your word. Father God, give us guidance, give us strength, give us wisdom. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord, as I lift up this word, asking you to, Lord God, bless it. In your son's name I pray, amen. Hallelujah. Watch and pray is our word for this morning. Watch and pray. The enemy is busy. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. And we are coming out of Matthew chapter 26 for our word this morning as far as our title. And we will get to it, but we are going to start in our Psalms and Proverbs today. And our Psalm this morning is the 21st Psalm. And chapter verse 1 says, to the chief musician, a Psalm of David. The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips, for you met him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head. He asked life from you, and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty you have placed upon him, for you have made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Hallelujah. He shall not be moved. Your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. You shall make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their offspring you shall destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men. For they intended evil against you. They devised a plot which they are not able to perform. Therefore you will make them turn their back. You will make ready your arrows on your string toward their faces. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. Hallelujah. We will sing and praise the power of God. Chapter 22. To the chief musician set to the deer of the dawn, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? And we know Jesus spoke these words on the cross. Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and you delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. Wow. Let's hear some life lessons from our Psalms this morning. In the 21st Psalm, chapter verse 6, you have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. God invites us, as Dr. Stanley says, God invites us to ask him for things. But even the things he gives us will never make us happy. Only his presence can do that. The deepest delights are found only in him, not in any of his gifts. Hallelujah. To understand everything we have. If you look around your room, all the stuff that you have, it's going to be here when you're gone. Somebody else is going to have to deal with your mess. Somebody else is going to have to deal with whatever you leave behind. And I tell you this, try to do what's right in the sight of God, because that's the only thing you can take with you is your soul. The only thing that can go with you is what's inside of you, that Holy Spirit that God has given each of us to either light up or leave dormant. I want my Holy Spirit to light up the world. I want God to get the power, the grace. I want God to get the credit for my life. There we go. Thank you, Lord. I want you, Lord God, to get the credit for my life, because I would not be here had it not been for the Lord. I can't name how many times God has saved my life. I can't name how many times I should have been dead, but I'm here because God wants me here to do what he has called me to do, his will, not mine. Hallelujah. Thanking God today for his grace. Woo, Lord, thank you. And it goes on to tell us in the 21st Psalm, verse 8, your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. Come on now. A classic sermon of many years ago was titled, Payday Someday. We can come to God in faith and receive his pardon and grace, or we can reject his gift, his offer of life, and become his enemy. Those are the options. Come on now. Dr. Staley said it right. We can accept God and be in his grace, or we can reject him. And then we have to stand before him on the last day, and he will determine your destination. And what destination do you want? Are you asking God for your destination to be in those pearly gates, to walk down those streets of gold, to go to that house not built by hand that is yours, that you are building right now with all that you do? Are you building your house as a shack, or are you going to have a mansion? How are you living for God? Hallelujah. I thank God this morning for this mighty word. We got to watch and we got to pray. In the 22nd Psalm, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Jesus Christ knew more about feeling abandoned by God than we ever will. But in his case, it was more than a feeling. For a moment, God turned his back on his son when he became sin for us. When he became sin for us. Jesus paid it all for me. Jesus paid it all for you. Why? Because he loves us. Because we are special. We are the apple of the Lord's eye. And he wants us to be the best we can be. We all fall short. We all fall down. But thank God, he is one to lean down with his mighty hands and pick us up, dust us off, and help us to go forth in whatever it is you need to do for him. In Proverbs 7 and 20, verse 24, it says, now therefore listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. What does it say? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Isn't that what Chris Tucker said in one of his Rush Hour movies? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Lord tells us, pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. We're talking about sin. We're talking about that adulterous spirit that takes you away from your love and your mate to walk down the wrong path. But we're talking sin. Do not let her, your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not straighten to her path, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. God is giving a warning. Oh, hallelujah. And as we go into the eighth, Proverbs chapter 8, it says, does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gate at the entrance of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of understanding heart. Wisdom calls today. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. And it's so easy to listen to lies and deception. But the truth is what sets us free. Wisdom speaks truth. Ask God for wisdom. And from wisdom, ask for understanding. Because the wicked one is out there. That evil, doggone spirit, that little thing that created havoc from the garden unto now. And we call him the devil. Give you everything you want to hear. Lie upon lie upon lie. But you got to ask God for the truth of a matter. And ask him to give you wisdom and understanding. So you see past the surface of things. You see past what your particular situation may be. Whether you have some prejudice in you. Whether you have some bigotry in you. Whether you have all kind of isms in you. We got to ask God to remove anything not like him from our mind, from our spirit, and from our body, and from our homes. Ask God to get rid of them demons and to bind them that they not come back. And bring they friends. You got to start praying out some stuff from your home. Because God is in charge of everything. And when we acknowledge that, we understand that when things get a little rough, God is allowing it. And it's to make you stronger, to make you better, to make you understand the truth of a matter. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her. We want to get wisdom, and with wisdom, we want to get understanding, because I tell you, wisdom will keep you from falling into the pit, because you'll know how to walk around it. We got to ask God for wisdom and understanding, and to understand when he speaks. We got to watch as well as pray. Pray against temptation. Pray against the things that are not of God. We got some praying to do. Matthew chapter 25. Please join me there. but this is Bible study. And as we go forth, it says this, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him. We've read it. We know it. It's in Revelation. Whew. And it will not be what people think. We got to understand. I don't want to be here when the angels and Christ come, because it's going to be a culling. It's going to be some harvesting going on, and it will not be pleasant, because you got to understand before he comes, all the other things come, and all the other things are horrible. War, rumors of war, earthquakes, all the things that we are starting to see, we are getting ready. We are in the misery. So we got to pray for God to guide us, God to lead us, God to show us the way. Show me the way, Lord. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Help me to watch and pray. And it goes on to tell us again, when the Son of Man comes to his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Come on now. You got folks always talking about, and the goat. He's a goat. I don't want to be a goat. Let me be a sheep for my shepherd. I don't want to be a goat. Better stop saying that, because you'll figure out what it means. And it's not the greatest of all times either. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry. Woo, come on now. And you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you at you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to me of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You don't understand. We don't understand that that person that you give a drink of water might be the Savior. That person that you allow to stay in your home might be the Savior. The homeless man, you give some food, might be the Savior. We have no idea what you do. You may be encountering angels unaware. And I say this too, for every angel there is a demon, and you've got to be careful. That's why you have to watch and pray. Because the spiritual realm is at war, and they fight for us every day. We've got to watch and pray. You know, I get emotional when I read this chapter and these words, because one of my sons said that if I leave this world, Mom, when I leave this world, if I leave before you, please use that scripture for me. And I thought, well, Lord, I'm buying that spirit. You know, I'm not ready to lose my child, and I'm not ready to go. So keep us here, God, and let us walk in your righteousness and in your ways. because the enemy is busy. And my pastor preached on this, and I spoke on it on Friday. The word if opens the door for the enemy to come in. It opens the door for him to slither in and create havoc. If I know, then all of a sudden you're thinking like, oh, where in the world did all this come from? If I do this, if I do that, if created room for the enemy to move in. We got to say when the Lord calls me home. This is what I want. When it's my time, this is what I want. Not if I, but when. Because we all know we will leave this world. We all know that one day we will cross over. One day we will be in the presence of the Lord. We all know this. And that's why we live every day to the full, giving God glory. Because it is not about me. It is not about you. It is all about him who is our Savior. And I say this one more time. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Every time you help someone, you are doing it for the Lord. Every time you open your heart, open your doors, open your closet, give your money to help someone less fortunate than you, you do it to the least for the glory of God. But now let's go to the goats, greatest of all times. And Jesus is going to say the same thing. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. Okay, now, think this through. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. What you do to the least, you do to the Lord. As you whine and complain and do your best to hurt those that are immigrants, because they didn't. They at the border. They're trying to come in the right way, and you're treating them like they're dirt. You're doing it to the least among us, and the Lord is going to see it. As you talk about abortion and you worry about that fetus, but when that beautiful baby gets into this world, you complain about giving out food stamps. You complain about children getting medical care. You complain about everything these poor women need. You whine and complain about giving it to them. Life is life. Life from the fetus to the grave is life. And we should treat our brothers and our sisters just as important once they appear as if they are in the womb. Because the Lord knitted us in our mother's womb. The Lord created us in that womb. And when we come into this world and he gives us the breath of life, we need to cherish that life just as much as we cherish what's in the womb. We have children going hungry because people complain about food stamps. And now they're getting ready to cut them again, because certain people think it's a gimme. It's not a gimme. It's us doing what's right in the sight of God. When I was hungry, you fed me. We've got to take care of the least among us, because that is an edit from God. You never know when you may be entertaining angels unaware. And I gave a testimony a while ago, maybe some years ago, about one day I was working, and I had gone out for lunch, and I mean, rain was coming down. And I am one of those people, I keep umbrellas. I love umbrellas because you never know when you need one. And I had an umbrella in the front of my car. It was a nice big umbrella, not, you know, where the ones where the rain won't get in and you know, expensive, nice, beautiful umbrella. And I saw this woman standing underneath the overhang with a baby cart, a baby in it. And I asked her, I said, do you have an umbrella? And she said, no, ma'am, I don't. And I said, well, here, take this one. It's big enough that it should cover you and your baby, because I have another one in my trunk. And so I gave her the umbrella, and I had a, you know, raincoat on, so I just put my raincoat over my head and went to my trunk to get my other umbrella. And, I mean, this lady with her baby carriage and an umbrella should not have walked very far. So when I put down my trunk after I got the other umbrella, I looked up. Understand, where I worked, there were no houses on that side of the street. There was no place that she could have gotten to in the time it took me to pop the trunk, get an umbrella, and close it. And I started to cry, because I felt like I had had an encounter with an angel, and that it was a test of God, that when I was in need, you gave me what I needed, which was an umbrella. You never know what you do in it for God. You never know who you are encountering. Keep doing what you do, but do it for God, because all of these folks complaining and doing evil things to immigrants, strangers, doing things to children, not wanting to feed the least among us, wanting to cut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. I want to take one, take instead of give. You got to stand before God. And I'm going to tell you this. It won't be pleasant. You might be the greatest of all times here on this earth, but when you are goat with Jesus, it's a whole different ball game, because the word of God says, and he will also say to those on the left hand, apart from me, you cursed into the everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous and into eternal life. I want to be in the righteous group. I don't want to be a goat. I want to be in the righteous group, on the right hand of God, throne, praising God, and saying, Lord, thank you for giving me a heart of compassion to help the least among us. Because you never know when you may be the least and need help. We've got to stop being such a selfish nation. Got more than any other nation and always complaining about helping somebody who's least among us. You rejoice when someone does well. You never know you may be entertaining an angel. You never know that it may be a test that you're not passing. Matthew 25:34, come, you blessed are my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Just as Jesus is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13:8, so has the coming kingdom been prepared for God's people from the foundation of the world. His plan is as ancient as it is true. Hallelujah. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. Matthew 25:46, these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. What we do with the good news of Jesus has enormous consequences. The punishment of those who reject Jesus is just as eternal as the reward of those who serve him. Are you serving the Lord today? Are you choosing yourself? We got to go forth and know who we belong to. We belong to God, and he loves us. Matthew 26. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these things that he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. They said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the old world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity. Now on the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? He answered and said, he who dips his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was the betrayer, betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? And he said to him, you have it. Said it. You have said it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this root of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. You just don't know, do you, Peter? Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, that before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. And Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, we know, James and John, his three aces, his guys. They went where he went. They slept where he slept. They were his guys, and they were the ones that had his back. And then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here, watch with me. He just asked them, just stay awake, be with me, because something awful is getting ready to happen, and I just need my friends with me. I feel it in my spirit. I know what's got to come. Can y'all pray with me? He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And as we go back to our word in Matthew chapter 26, a life lesson. Wherever this gospel is preached, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. The woman could not have known that what she did that day would be memorialized in God's word and distributed to the ends of the earth. God loves to reward faithful devotion to him. When I was hungry, he fed me. When I was in need, this woman with her alabaster box came and poured oil on me and prepared me for what was to come. Well done. She was a faithful servant. You know, and I love this word the doctor gives us as a life. Dr. Stanley gives us as a life question. And again, I'm coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. It's our word for this year. And I thank Dr. Stanley for this Bible. And I thank God for his biblical instruction, his basic instruction before leaving earth. This is our blueprint for life. It says Jesus' example of sacrifice. Some believe that Jesus came to live a good life. And to be sure, he is our example of righteousness. We ought to become like him. But that isn't the reason Jesus came. Jesus came to die, to become the sacrificial, substantially all-sufficient atonement for sins. We no longer have to find that unblemished ram. We no longer have to find that unblemished lamb. We no longer have to find the turtle dove and the pigeons. We don't have to find those things. We had Jesus. And he took all the sins of the world to the cross and to the grave and rose again. If Jesus didn't come to die, there is no purpose in the cross or the resurrection. The New Testament consistently confronts us with the message of Christ died for us. Jesus came so that you and I might transfer our guilt to him and accept by faith that as the guiltless one, he has received our sin and taken it to himself. If you are looking for forgiveness on the basis of your pleas, promises, and performance, then you will remain in your sin. Only if you accept his sacrifice will you open yourself to receiving the fullness of God's life-giving spirit. Matthew 26 and 29, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. The Lord's Supper not only looks back to the sacrifice of Christ's death, it also looks ahead to his glorious reign. It both memorializes and anticipates the work of Christ and invites us to remember and celebrate. 37, he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Isaiah called the coming Messiah a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53 and 3. And in the Garden of the Gethsemane, Jesus faced sorrow like he had never known. Truly, he was in all points tempted as we are. Hebrews 4 and 15. What a word this morning. What a word this morning. God loves us so much, and he wants us to know that he is the Savior. Jesus loves us, and he wants us to be careful, to watch as well as pray, so that we are not tempted to do wrong, that we don't, enemy is always there waiting, just waiting like a roaring lion to devour us with our sins. We got to watch. We got to pray. Pray every day and know who our Savior is. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, if there's anyone with the word from God that has given you, now's the time to push that one on your phone. If you have called 312-913-943-3597, which is our call-in number again, 213-943-3597. If you have a word from God, now is the time. A word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, for this morning is this, a scripture. And it's one of the best. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Philippians 4 and 13. Have a strong in Christ Sunday. You know, and I'm sure there are some that are saying have a super Sunday because it's Super Bowl Sunday. But let us remember who God is. And I love our prayer for today, and it says, not good. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, Philippians 4:12 NIV. God, I am so grateful that my relationship with you is not dependent on my circumstances. You are a good father who does not love his kids more than they succeed and less when they fail. Your love is the steadiest thing in the universe. Whatever my life looks like right now, the good, the bad, the ugly, or where you meet me, I don't need wealth or success to be content. I also don't need to live with barely anything to my name to live in the simplicity of your gospel. Lord, as I lean into your heart today, impart the fruit of your character into my life that my satisfaction will be found in relationship to you. When I struggle and fall, I have as much access to your goodness as when everything seems to be going well. Today, you know right where I am on that spectrum. I welcome you, Holy Spirit, to bring revelation, light to my life and to the meaning of life. I know that I will find it in you. And a question for today is this: does your belief about God and how he sees you change when your circumstances shift? Hallelujah. We got to love God in our good. We got to love God in our bad. We got to love God in our ugly. And we got to thank God through it all. And a prayer that I had for yesterday, I'm sharing with you this morning, the mirror. Says, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Gracious one, I am so grateful that every day is a new beginning with you. Every moment is a brand new opportunity to be intentional. Even more, you have said that if I am in you, I am a new creation. I have been made new, and even when I look back over my journey with you, if my new body is feeling like it's wearing down, you make me new again. Your love never grows stale, and your grace never grows old. You are always in the present, though you are not confined to it. I take this time right now in my day to invite you into this moment. Bring life into me again, blowing away the dust of the world and its weight. Wash me in the light of your goodness, that all the darkness of doubt and the lies that so easily entangle me will be washed away. Your word says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Let everything that has bound me fall off now, in the name of Jesus, that I may walk freely with you in the land of the living. And the question for yesterday was this: what area of your life needs a new touch from God? And I say to you, thank God for this day that he has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Find a Bible-believing church and keep trusting God. And remember to watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Know that God's got you covered, but watch and pray. Let us pray that hour with God. Let us spend time with Jesus. Have a great day, family. It is a wrap.